There we go. It's the book of Psalms because it's a collection of 150 of them. But when you make reference to a particular psalm, you do not use the plural. I've heard folks say Psalms 1 or Psalms 23. And technically that's incorrect. It is Psalm 1 or Psalm 23. And so again, that's not a big deal, but just to be correct, it's a compilation, and you'll see that as we begin. It's a compilation of 150 separate yet related hymns. And that's what these are. They're all written to be sung. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the heart. Psalm 19, many of these psalms we have melodies to. I have a sneaking suspicion that our American melodies are probably nothing like the Jewish melodies that they sang these songs to. If you've ever heard Jewish music, it's not very appealing to our American ear. But they had all these psalms were songs or hymns that they put to music. And so when we see them, we understand that they are hymns expressing all the emotions known to man. Many folks have found comfort in the Psalms in times of trouble, in times of depression, in times of anger. And the Psalms will give them joy, will help them to rejoice. Many of the Psalms, we call them, not penitentiary, but it's something like that, all right. The songs of the Psalms where David is asking for God's vengeance on his enemies, all right, let's get it right there. The penitent Psalms, he's asking for God to justify him, to vindicate him, to wreak havoc on his enemies. And you and I read that in our day and say, wait a minute, the Lord said, love your enemies, pray for them that despitefully use you. Well, David wasn't writing during the time of Christ. He was writing to a different time period. The Psalms are not church age Psalms. Can you understand that? These things were written hundreds of years before, thousands of years before the church even began. It was a different time. David was allowed to pray against his enemies. And in fact, we find in the Psalms that not only do they deal with all the different emotions, but they're also prophetic. And one way in which they're prophetic is that we see in the book of Psalms, we see the nation of Israel in the end times. All right, when David was writing, or the other Asaph or the other psalm writers were writing, they were writing about something that happened to them right then. But much of those psalms are prophetic, and what they were writing fits into end times about the Antichrist. There are psalms that deal with the man of sin. There are psalms that deal with the tribulation period. Because this is all about Israel. And so when we read those Psalms of David and vengeance, the unlearned or the Bible skeptic might judge David for that, but he was allowed and permitted at that time to be able to do that, and will again be permitted, Israel will, in the tribulation period, to pray for the destruction of the Antichrist. To pray for the wicked to be judged. Now in our church age, this age of grace, we're not permitted to do that, though sometimes we're tempted. But David did not live in that time period. All right, these psalms also speak prophetically in many places of Jesus Christ. Though he is never mentioned in the 150 psalms, obviously he's not been born of the Virgin Mary yet for a couple thousand years. He's not mentioned in the book of Psalms. At the same time, we read about his suffering in Psalm chapter 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a prophecy written by David of what Jesus said on the cross. So his suffering in Psalm 22 and Psalm 69. His resurrection is recorded in Psalm 16. When you're reading through these Psalms, note these different ones. His millennial reign, I love the second Psalm, Psalm chapter 2. His enemies will be his footstool. The heathen will be his inheritance. That's talking about the millennial kingdom. That's a prophecy that's not yet been fulfilled. So that's in Psalm 2, 9, 46, 72, and 89. The marriage supper of the Lamb is talked about in Psalm 45. The rejection of Christ in Psalm 118 and his everlasting kingdom in Psalm 132. And those are just some examples. There are many more. I didn't have the time or space to put all of them down there. So we see Christ in the Psalms, even though he's never mentioned by name. The word Psalms means praises. That's what the word psalm itself means. It means, psalms means praises. And many of these praises were sung, as we said already, by the Hebrews as they went up the steps to the temple to worship. That's what these songs were for. They were songs for worship. The reference I put down, and I'll turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 30. 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 30, it says, "Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David." Well, where are the words of David? Those are the Psalms. 75 of them we'll see in just a moment. All right? With the words of David and of Asaph, the seer. Asaph, we'll find out in a minute, also wrote some of these Psalms. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads in worship. They're in the temple when they do that, verse 29. They're making an end of offering. They're bowing themselves. They're worshiping in the temple. And in the temple, they sang these different psalms. They're all psalms of praise. And so that's what the word psalm means. It means praises. Of the psalms, 75 are attributed to David. One of the great things about Psalms in the particular book, if you're there, look at Psalm 1. Here's just something to point out. It says, Psalm 1, blessed is the man. Psalm 2, why do the heathen rage? Psalm 3, notice right under Psalm 3, it says this, a psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son. That inscription right there under the heading is as much scripture as verse number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 are. That's not an optional. That is part of the psalm when it was written. That wasn't added later. That wasn't somebody's commentary on it. That was part of it when it was actually written at the time. So these inscriptions are part of it. And in as you read through Psalms, and I verified this, I did it myself. Went through with a yellow notepad, went from Psalm 1 to 50, wrote down who wrote which ones, the ones that it says who wrote it. Some of them, it doesn't, like Psalm 1 and 2, it doesn't say anybody wrote those. There's no title there. And yet we know David wrote Psalm 2. You say, wait a minute, there's under Psalm 2 it doesn't say anything. Well, let me read Acts chapter 4, verse 25, and you see the reference there on your note sheet. Acts chapter 4 and verse 25. I believe this is the words of Peter when he's preaching. And Peter says this in Acts 4:20, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? All right, Peter just attributed why did the heathen rage to David, and that was the beginning of Psalm 2. So 73 of the Psalms in the heading say a Psalm of David or a Maskil of David, which is another word for the Song of David, a Hebrew word for it. 73, and then two more are attributed to David in the New Testament. Psalm 2 we just looked at, and then in Hebrews 4:7, Psalm 95 is attributed also to David. So David wrote half of the Psalms, 75 of them. Also 12 are attributed to Asaph. That's that guy we just read about in 2 Chronicles. A-S-A-P-H. Asaph. He wrote 12 of the Psalms. And I've got them listed there. Psalm 50. And then also Psalm 73 to 83. He's written 12 of them. 10 of them are attributed, and here's, I put the word because all of the commentators and all the Bible scholars or whatever say, 10 of them were written by the sons of Korah. And as you look at the heading, it says written for the sons of Korah. Well, in my understanding of the English language, written by and written for are two different things. So it doesn't say who wrote them, but it says who they were written for. The sons of Korah. You know who Korah was, right? That guy that rebelled against Moses in the wilderness and God opened up the earth and swallowed him down. Well, if you were a descendant of Korah, you'd probably feel pretty guilty about that whole thing. So there were some psalms of encouragement written by somebody, maybe David himself. The ones that are not attributed to anybody might have been written by David. When I studied the book of Psalms 2008, when we went through the book of Psalms here at Bible Baptist Church, I said this, every psalm that's not attributed to anybody, if you can say it was David's, you're probably on pretty good ground. Because most of the ones that have no name or title sound like the ones written by David. So we know he wrote 75, Asaph, 12 of them. 10 were written for the sons of Korah. 2 are attributed for Solomon. And again, the Bible students say 2 were written by Solomon, Psalm 72 and 127 say written for Solomon. And is it, I think it's Psalm 127. I like this one. And I can see why somebody wrote it for Solomon. Yeah, Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What does Solomon do? He built the house of the Lord. So somebody wrote this psalm for Solomon, I think. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the loom. The fruit of the womb. The fruit of the womb is his reward. All right? Those were written for Solomon, according to the title of Psalm 127. So, 75, 12, 10, 2, then there's one psalm written by each of these three men, and we don't even know who the first two are. Heman. Somebody named Heman wrote Psalm 88, according to the title. Ethan wrote Psalm 89. And then Moses wrote Psalm 90. So that is, without doubt, the oldest of the psalms. Because David lived years after Moses did. And the other men, Asaph and Korah and Solomon and Heman and, well, Korah, the sons of Korah, all these were years later. So Moses wrote the first of the Psalms, although it's Psalm number 90. And then the rest of the 48 Psalms are anonymous. Again, no one is given credit for writing them. And so, again, I would always say it's safe to say, if no title is given, it's probably David who wrote 75 of them. Especially the early ones, the first half of the first third of the Psalms up to Psalm 41, almost all but a couple of them are written by David. So the ones that aren't attributed to him, you're pretty self-believing. So how did this happen? You got a song or a hymn written by Moses back in his day. Then you got the ones written by David, and then Asaph, which was David's chief musician. He was the choir director in the temple under David. Then you've got Heman and Ethan. You've got these other people writing. How did all of these psalms get into one book of 150 psalms? Who put them together? Well, our next paragraph. The psalms are believed to have been compiled by Ezra the scribe. You remember Ezra? Back in the book of Ezra, we read about him. He's the one that when the children of Israel went back after the Babylonian captivity, he reinstituted the worship of God. Zerubbabel had the altar built, and then Ezra came back as a priest and started getting people to worship God. And he was a scribe. He kept the logs of all the people that came out of Babylon back there. He was a writer. And so it's believed that Ezra is the one that put these together. That means if Ezra put them together, the chapter divisions of Psalms were not added later. We hear a lot of skeptics, a lot of people saying, well, the chapters in the Bible, and here's the ridiculous theory I've heard. Some guy was riding on a horse, dividing the Bible, the New Testament, into chapters, and every time the horse hit a bump, he ended one chapter and started the next one. Now you're laughing, and you should laugh, but they're serious when they say that. I've read that in different scholarly commentaries that they believe that's how, because many of them, and we saw this in Revelation, believe the chapter division should not be there. This chapter should have ended a different place. Everybody stands in judgment on everything. But these Psalms, we know that nobody did them later. They were done all the way back. And one reason we know is Acts 13:33. And Acts 13:33 says this. God hath fulfilled, here's again, Acts 13, Paul is preaching. God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Paul is preaching in Acts 13. What is this, 50 BC, or 50 AD? And he already says in the second Psalm. So he's already telling us that these psalms had already been divided before he ever preached that sermon then. These go all the way back to Ezra, who took the different psalms, put them all together in one book, and then they used that to worship God as they went to the temple. Of the 150 psalms, 116 have headings, which we've already said, are actually part of the text. When we were studying New Testament survey and we got to the end of the Pauline epistles, it would say, written by Timotheus from Laodicea. Now, I personally believe that that's as much part of the text as the text was. A lot of folks don't agree with that. But everybody agrees that the headings of Psalms are part of the text. Now, again, scholars are wonderful people because they got to show how smart they are and straighten everybody. You know what they say? They said, like, Psalm 3. I'm looking back there to get it right. Psalm 3 is the first one that's got a heading. A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. They say that that scription there actually goes on the end of the psalm in front of it. That should be the end of Psalm 2, not the beginning of Psalm 3. They can't agree on anything. They can't leave the Bible alone to save their lives. There's just something innate in them that they have to feel in judgment of the Bible and rehash it and say, just take it the way it is. All right, don't mess with it, just believe it. But 116 of the 150 have headings before them that explain what was written, what is being written about. A second line there. Of the 219 quotations of the Old Testament in the New Testament. By that we mean in the New Testament, thus was it written. They're quoting the Old Testament. In the New Testament, somebody quotes the Old Testament 219 times. The book of Psalms is without doubt the most often quoted Old Testament book of any, because it is quoted, and you're going to think I'm stuck, 116 times. All right, the same number you just wrote in on the line above it. 116 times the book of Psalms is quoted in the New Testament. It is a thorough part of the Jewish people. The book of Psalms is not just 2,000 years old, it's forecasting their future. And those Psalms that were quoted were applied in New Testament times and are going to be applied even in the future. So the book of Psalms is such a rich book. 12 of the Psalms, as we just saw with Psalm 3, oh, and that first one's not supposed to be 93, that's supposed to be 3. Cross off that 9 there at the beginning. 12 of the Psalms tell the occasion of the writing in its title. Again, Psalm 3, a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Psalm chapter 7, Shegion of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. All right, some of them have a short introduction. 12 of them give us the occasion of the writing of it. So the book of Psalms is a very compact, concise, and precise book all by itself. The book of Psalms is divided into 5 sections. The reason we know that, or the reason we see that, is because each of the 5 sections ends with a doxology. You know what? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. All right, amen, amen. That's how they say. That's what a doxology is. Well, look, notice the first section is Psalm 1 to 41. So look at the last verse of Psalm 41. Psalm 41, verse 13. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Notice that double amen. There's amens other places in Scripture, but that double amen ends this first section, chapter 1 to 41. The end of the second section is chapter 72. And the last verse in chapter 72, actually verse 19, the last verse is verse 20. Blessed be His glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So you see a second section completed with that doxology. Amen and amen. You'll see the same thing in chapter 89, chapter 106, chapter 150, although at the end of the chapter 150 it doesn't have the amen. Psalm 150 is all about praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But these 5 sections are very clear in the book of Psalms. Now these 5 sections also have a corresponding book of the Pentateuch. The Pentateuch, of course, is the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And it's amazing the correlation, or the corresponding, between these 5 sections of Psalms and the 5 books of Moses. That's not a coincidence. There's a divine author behind the Bible. Folks that live in ignorance of the Bible are living in ignorance of God. They've got a divinely inspired book with access to it that they've never read. They've got the very words of God in print that they don't regard. And we see even this connection between the two. The first section, Psalm 1 to 41, and we'll see this again in our outline a little bit, corresponds to Genesis. From Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, we read the word man 34 times. Blessed is the man. There's the man in the first few chapters, there's the man of sin in the next few chapters, then the man Christ Jesus after that. But it's like Genesis, God made man in His own image. God called men to serve Him, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The emphasis is on the origin of the beginning of man. The second section, 42 to 72, corresponds to Exodus. Psalm 42, the first one, begins with a cry for deliverance, just like the book of Exodus does. The third section, 73 to 89, corresponds to Leviticus. The key word in that section is the word sanctuary. And the writers there in that section are emphasizing the worship of the Lord in the sanctuary, just like Leviticus does. The fourth section, Psalm 90 to 106, corresponds to the book of Numbers. Remember what Numbers was all about? Wandering in the wilderness after the deliverance from Egypt. Psalm 90 is the psalm written by Moses. And Psalm 106 ends with Israel's rebellion in the wilderness. So there is a mysterious and a strange correlation between those five sections of Psalms and the five books of the Old Testament. And the writers did not sit down and plan that out. They were not that ingenious and not that bright that they said, hey, let's do this. Let's put five sections in Psalms and each one with amen and amen, and then make them match the five books. They didn't do that. That was all inspiration of God. That was God directing the writing of the books through seven different authors in Psalms itself. The last section, Psalm 107 to 150, corresponds to Deuteronomy. And its emphasis on the Word of God. Deuteronomy is all about the laws, the commandments, the statutes. Psalm 107 to 150 is all about the law, the commandment, the statutes. Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. 172 verses. And all but six of those 172 verses make a reference to the law, the statutes, the commandments, His words. 166 verses in that chapter. That's what it's all about. So that last section of these five corresponds to the book of Deuteronomy. Key words or phrases in the book of Psalms. These words should not be surprising. The word praise or praises appears 183 times. And again, what do we say? The word Psalms means praises. So that's what it's all about. Praise ye the Lord. That's throughout the book of Psalms over and over again. Some chapters it says it over and over again. The words bless and blessed appear 93 times in these 150 Psalms. That's the theme of the book. Praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word trust appears 50 times. 50 times. And the title Lord, and again, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. There are many times in Psalms, and I didn't go back and count them, that it's capital L, small O, R, D. And that's a different word than all capitals is. Those all caps are talking about God, the name of God Himself, Jehovah. That's His name. And all capitals in the Old Testament is the way. And that phrase in 150 chapters of Psalms appears 732 times. That word, 732, more than any other book in the Bible. Yes, it's the biggest book of the Bible, but 732 times in 150 chapters. It's about the Lord. It's about His blessings. It's about praising. It's about trust. That's the book of Psalms. Trusting God even in the most difficult of circumstances. When David was in sickness, and he writes in there that his bones within his body were aching, yet he trusts the Lord. When his enemies were surrounding him and he thought all hope was gone, he was still putting his trust in the Lord. So trust and praise and the Lord appear over and over again. Then finally tonight, the overview of the book of Psalms, as we do with all of these books. Just a quick overview outline. And it's got the same five sections because those are really indisputable. You can't divide the book of Psalms any other way than those five with the doxologies at the end. And the first one, Psalm 1 to 41, speak of God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. And I'll spell that for you because I always have to check myself twice. S-O-V-E-R-E-I-G-N-T-Y. God's sovereignty. What is sovereignty? It means God is in control. Nothing takes him by surprise. Again, Psalm 2 is one of my favorites, and you know, the world thinks it's getting, he says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against her, against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, I'm sure David was writing something about his time period, that the heathen kings of the world were fighting and rebelling against God, but you can't miss that that's prophetic. We're studying the book of Revelation on Sunday night. And this just matches it. Verse 3, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. All right? God's sovereignty. He's in control. Even when the heathen think it's going their way, God's still in control. You watch the news and you look at things going on in the world and you think, what in the world's going on? God's got it all under control. He's going to call everybody to judgment one of these days. So the first section is God's sovereignty. The second section, Psalm 42 to 17, is God's salvation. God's salvation. Remember, the word salvation in the Old Testament is not as the word as same as the word salvation in the New Testament. What is salvation in the New Testament? That's trusting Christ as your Savior. Salvation in the Old Testament is deliverance. David is asking for salvation, deliverance from his enemies. And deliverance is the key word of that second section. He's asking for, God, save me. What did Peter say when he was sinking in the water? Lord, save me. He wasn't asking about the salvation of his soul. He's asking for God to save him, to deliver him from drowning. Now, the word salvation in the New Testament is still deliverance. When you got saved, you got delivered from your sins. You got delivered from yourself. You got delivered from the power of Satan. And you got delivered from the lake of fire. So salvation, the word means deliverance, and that's how it is in Psalm 42 to 72. The third section, and we've said this already above, God's sanctuary. Psalm 73 to 89. The sanctuary. And those verses emphasize the worship of the Lord and the sacrifices to Him. Section number 4, God's sufficiency. God's sufficiency, S-U-F-F-I-C-I-E-N-C-Y. God's sufficiency. Read Psalm 90 to 106 and see how God is always enough. God is always delivering His people. God is always meeting their needs and blessing them. And the last section, as we've talked about already, Psalm 107 to 150, are God's sayings. God's sayings. The word of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That's Psalm 1, that's Psalm 19, but that last section is all about the sayings of the Lord. So this is the book of Psalms. I've known folks that have read the book of Psalms, finished it, gone back and started all over again. Finished it, gone back and started all over again. The book of Psalms will do things for you that you can't explain. All the emotions we go through, as we said at the beginning, the joy, the sorrow, the despair, the rejoicing, the vengeance, all of those we see fully explained in the book of Psalms, and what a comfort it is, this 20th book, written by David, Asaph, all the different ones, the book of Psalms. Let's stand together this evening as we close in prayer. We'll have a song at the end of that. Father, thank you for the book of Psalms. Thank you, God, for the heart of